Tonight we're going to be talking about spinning our wheels. How many of you have gotten a vehicle stuck before? Wasn't that fun? I sure have many times. It's a sinking feeling, no pun intended. You push the gas pedal, nothing happens. You try reverse, nothing happens. You get out of the car, frustrated, looking at the wheels, and it's evident that you're not going anywhere without some outside help. Sometimes in life, it seems that we are spinning our proverbial wheels.
Yeah.
You work hard to make ends meet, and then the transmission goes out. You try and try, and it seems like things are backfiring, working against you.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, God addresses these types of episodes that we have in our life. And we're going to look at it here in Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 11. The Bible says, go up into Gilead. Jeremiah is prophesying here. He says, go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. Now look down in verse 15. Why are thy valiant men swept away? They stood not, because the Lord did not drive them. Because the Lord did drive them. So let's take a minute and pray before we continue. Father, I thank you for your word.
Yes, God.
Lord, you give us your living word because you want us to know you. You want us to know what you expect of us. Yes. You want us to learn. And Lord, I pray that tonight you would help us to do that. I pray that you would give me the words to speak so that I can accurately relay your message to your people. I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jeremiah is prophesying the soon coming judgment towards Egypt because of their choice to exclude God from their life.
Lord help.
He said there in verse 11, he said, you can try all the medicines you want, but they're not going to work. Verse 15, he says, even your strongest, most valiant men, your warriors, they're swept away or defeated.
Yeah.
Why?
Because the Lord.
Because God was in control of it. Why didn't God help them? Why didn't God allow their medicines to work? Why didn't God give the warriors, the trained warriors, a victory? The answer is because they weren't walking with him. They had forsaken him long ago and lived in disobedience to him. Brother Bruce, that was a heathen nation. And that's true, but the same thing happened to Israel. In fact, turn to Haggai. Haggai, that's toward the end of the Old Testament. We're in chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. I think I'm saying that right. Is that right, Miss Linda? Haggai, I don't know. Verse 3, it says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses in this house lie waste. Talking about the temple.
Yes.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. The time frame here in this book of Haggai was the end of the 70-year Babylonian captivity. In fact, it was time to rebuild the temple. In fact, the king had given them permission to do it.
Yeah.
They hadn't done it. They haven't been obedient. The prophet told them to. They had permission. In fact, they even had money to do it. They were just being lazy or not thoughtful or something, but they were being disobedient. Their houses were well built. When he uses the word sealed, there in
verse 4,
he's talking about finished, complete, nice, not tents, not a shack, but a nice house.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. Yet, the house of God, the temple, had laid waste. It had been broken down, tore up, destroyed by the enemy, and now it was time to rebuild. That's where they're at here in Haggai. They have grown comfortable where they were and blind to their sin.
That's right.
We're talking about Israel here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They sow lots of seed and bring in a small harvest.
Mm.
They eat food, but they're not filled or satisfied. They earn money just to put it into a bag with holes. Sound familiar? I've been there.
Yes,
you may have.
Yes, sir.
I'm not advocating that every time that you and I face adversity, it's because of our sin, because that's not true. Sometimes God is trying to help us grow.
Amen.
Sometimes it's necessary to suffer for the cause of Christ.
Yes.
And that's not because of our sin. So it's not that every time that we are suffering that we've messed up somewhere.
Mm.
That God's mad with us. That's not always the case.
Right, right.
But when we sin and we haven't made it right,
mm-hmm.
and we haven't confessed it, acknowledged it,
mm-hmm.
before God, there's consequences.
Yeah. Amen.
God wants to bring us back to it. And so I feel that it's important to learn to differentiate between the two.
Mm.
We all know that it's easy to slip into sin, right?
Mm.
In fact, it's not just possible, but highly probable for us as Christians to be blinded to our own sin.
Yes.
And because of that, we continue in it. Everybody thinks that they're right. Solomon addresses that in Proverbs 21:2. He says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Notice it says that the Lord pondereth the hearts. Not man ponders his own heart. Mm. We should.
Yeah.
I'm afraid we don't check ourselves often enough.
Mm, that's good.
David prayed that God would open his eyes to his sin.
Yes.
Our eyes are very clear and wide open. Amen. To everyone else's sin.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. Lord, help us.
But somehow we're blinded to ours.
Yeah.
That's why we think we're right. Mm. That's why we feel like everything is good between us and God. We're here at church, right? We read our Bibles. How often, though, when our wheels are spinning, do we stop and check things out with God? Say, God, help me to see my sin.
Yeah.
Help me to repent of that sin. Brother Tommy was preaching this morning about dying. We've got to take it to the cross and leave it there. Separate from it. Give it up. We don't want to do that. We like it. Sometimes we're blinded to our sin because we don't want to see it. We don't want to acknowledge it. We don't want to call it sin. We call it other things like, that's just who I am. That's just a bad habit. That I inherited that. That's how my dad did it. That's how my mom did it. Yes, we did inherit it. We inherited sin. It is easy to become blinded to our sin. King Josiah, remember we talked about that recently. He sought God diligently for 10 years.
Right.
And then found out that they were still being disobedient and was highly concerned about it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Judgment still came, by the way.
That's right.
Because of their disobedience. And so for 10 years, they were, Josiah was seeking God diligently. God did bless him for that.
Yes, he did.
But because of the sin, there was some judgment. So could it be possible that as you and I are coming to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, opening our Bibles every day, praying, that there's still something in our life that God is not pleased with?
Amen.
A very, very good chance of that.
Oh, Lord.
It's easy to see our own sin. Or, I'm sorry, other people's sin. But then when it comes to ours, we can't see it. What we need to do is ask God to expose our sin.
Yes, yes.
In our pride, we proclaim, this is during the middle of the spinning of our wheels. The money pouring out of our bag with holes in it. In the middle of this, we proclaim in our pride that the devil is after us. Or God's just trying to grow me. No, that's probably not it. Or it may not be it. It may be that God's trying to pull us back to him. It may be that we're getting spanked. Living for God wholeheartedly does not set you up for a problem-free life.
That's right.
We're going to have problems. We're going to have adversity. We're going to have suffering because suffering is part of the Christian life.
Yes, sir.
We can't become like Jesus if we don't go through some of the things he went through. We can't know, as Paul put it, We can't know Christ without suffering. But Haggai, he told Israel twice in the passage that we just read, consider your ways.
Yeah.
Not their ways.
Right. Amen.
Not your wife's ways.
Right.
Not your husband's ways, or that person that you can't stand that lives next door to you or works with you. Don't consider their ways, but your ways.
Amen.
Are you walking the path that God wants you to walk? When we do that, and God reveals something to us, that's when we have to do what Brother Tommy was talking about this morning. Crucify the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Die like Christ died on the cross. Let it go.
Amen.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
We like it. We want to continue in it. It feels good. It tastes good. All of that. All of those simple pleasures we enjoy and we don't want to let go of. But it comes with a price. When we take it to God, we confess it, call it what it is, then our wheels are going to get traction.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Then we're going to go in the direction that God wants us to be going. But until then, we're spinning our wheels. We're losing money out of a bag with holes, as Haggai put it. Going nowhere. Accomplishing nothing. The answer is this. Go to God. And pray the same prayer that David prayed. When he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Clean me up. He said on a different occasion, because you've cleaned me up, now I can be a witness.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
People will come to you because of my testimony. So for a period of time there, no one was. There was a time in David's life that he couldn't even talk about God. He couldn't share God with other people. He couldn't tell them how good he was because of his sin. That works with us too.
It's so true.
Even when there's sin that we have become blinded to in ourselves, that we've been committing, ongoing, those things drive a wedge between us and God.
That's
and
right.
We can't be the soul winner that we ought to be.
That's right.
No one's going to come to Jesus due to our witness because of the sin in our life. If you're spinning your wheels or you feel like you're spinning your wheels, the answer is to check yourself. And again, I want to reiterate, all suffering is not due to our sin. And I know that, but we need to check that.
Amen.
We need to check that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would clarify to me the things in my life, my heart, my mind, my actions that aren't right. Lord, help me to take that to the cross. Forsake it, repent, and turn to you. Lord, help me to live wholeheartedly for you. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be the witness that I ought to be. I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Turn 481. 481.